Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 15th of February, 2022. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
I'm glad you're with me. And also today, because it's been a while since we had fun with Team Nightmare, Andrew Orr. Wow. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad you're with me. Now, Andrew, I'd like to start with you and a story that you wrote up yesterday about some updated software.
This is today's news.
Today's news, yes. What even BB is edit. Time?
Yeah. BB Edit 14.1 is out today. So for those, I don't use BB Edit like we were saying, but this is good news for the users. And it has three main features. So one of them is it allows the creation of multiple notebooks. So now it's even easier to stay organized if you have, you know, like one topic per notebook or one job per notebook, for example. Mm-hmm. That's always great. The second one is a new image viewer with, as you mentioned, Kelly, a nice privacy feature.
Yes.
So there is this one-click button where you can remove the metadata. Mm-hmm. From the images, which can include things like the type of camera used, the location, mm-hmm. which is nice if you plan to share those on social media.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that showed up in there, I actually talked to Rich Siegel, Rich BB Edit, about this yesterday. And one of the reasons that piece came in, first of all, it was a user request, and it makes it very easy, you know, if you're trying to check a reference or something, if you are doing website management and using BB Edit for your editor for those pages, then it makes it very easy to go, okay, what actual image does that link to? And you can see it. And then you also have the option in there, aside from remove metadata, you have a second option for remove it on upload. So maybe you want to keep all the image information that you have, like what camera it was or the location or, you know, edited with Acorn or whatever sort of thing, you know, you have in there. But when you upload it, you know, again, website management sorts of things, you can remove all of that metadata so that all the person on the other side gets, you know, is just an image. So that's super handy.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then there was one final update too, or feature.
Yes.
And this is great for automation. So if you are on macOS Monterey, there are a couple of shortcut actions. There is create text document and create note that will create the document or note using contents provided from a shortcut. So yeah. Awesome.
Shortcut stuff, which was immediately the point when I went, oh, Andrew needs to know about this.
Yep.
And so now maybe you will use BB Edit, hopefully. And the multiple notebook thing is interesting for being able to sort things out. Like you said, that's also a new feature that you can have separate notebooks. And this is one of those scratch notes. You might remember when I had Rich on the show to talk about BB Edit 14.0. One of the things we talked about was having all those little temporary text files down the side of BB Edit. And this allows you to maybe organize those a little better if you need them, or mm-hmm. just have one sort of notebook dedicated to just those if you don't. Now, Charlotte, you said that you have BB Edit, but yes. You don't use it all that much.
No, it's not the default one. I've tested it out, and you're both, you know, I know you love it, Kelly, and there's lots of features within it to praise. For me, there's two different, if I'm drafting it, you know, sometimes I go classic and just use Microsoft Word, depending on what I'm writing. But, you know, if I'm drafting things for, say, the MacObserver.com, I might use an app called Drafts, which I've definitely highlighted in other articles before. It's a paid for app, but it's not too expensive. You know, it might be in the $4.99, $5.99 kind of bracket, one-off payment type thing.
Yeah.
And it works across devices, which I really like. So one download and subscription means the same documents are updated across my iPad, Mac, and iPhone, which is really, really nice and really, really important. So I tend to use Drafts for the kind of classic short form, you know, articles. And, you know, when I wrote a book, I use Scrivener, which it's a bit more of an advanced version of some of the things that you guys were describing in BB Edit, although it doesn't have the more techie features like, you know, the metadata stuff Andrew was describing, or some of the automation and things like that. It's pure, it's a pure writing and organizing, writing and research product. So, yeah. And it doesn't, you know, it does not have the kind of code writing capabilities that are part of BB Edit. Yeah. And in fact, Drafts can also, you can write in plain text, you can write in JavaScript, Git, you know, Markdown, so on and so forth.
Yeah. And that's context highlighting, I think is what that's called. So you say, I'm writing a JavaScript, it gives you certain highlighting. I'm writing a Ruby, I'm writing something in Ruby, it gives you different highlighting and sort of shows you like the autocorrect kinds of things, like you missed a bracket there, you know, and that could break things.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it's BB Edit has a whole lot of features aside from just, if you have a text file that you can't seem to open in anything else, BB Edit will open it for you. And aside from that, it's very handy. And yes, full disclosure, I've been a fan of BB Edit since the last century. When you could build a web page, and if you put the logo for BB Edit on the bottom of it and said built with BB Edit and you emailed it to them, they would go verify it was there and then they'd send you a t-shirt. And so that was my introduction BB Edit. So I have a very, very old BB Edit t-shirt.
Off air, Andrew and I were trying to work out if BB Edit was older than us.
It's entirely possible it is.
No, it's not. It's I'm distinctly older than BB Edit. Andrew, I think, said he was a year
A year older than BB Edit.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Rich.
We're close. We're close.
Hi, Rich. I'm so sorry. I'll just leave it there. BB Edit is a great app if you work with text, and most people do in some form or another. If you aren't necessarily already set up with Drafts or something like that, it may be something you want to check out. One of the nice things about it is that it is free. You can use a free 30-day trial of all the features, and then it continues to work in a limited way going forward as a free app, like Text Wrangler used to be, which was also a bare-bone software product. The free version of BB Edit sort of took the place of that. So you can use it for that. And you can go get that at barebones.com. And if you are so inclined, you can get yourself a shirt of your own over there as well. I was shopping for shirts yesterday, which is why that's fresh on my mind. So that's it for BB Edit. I would like to talk to both of you about something else in rampant speculation. But first, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Nomad Goods. Now, Nomad started as a Kickstarter project about 10 years ago, and they build tools for the 21st century. They're in Santa Barbara, California, and they make mobile accessories. So phone cases, Apple Watch straps, a variety of chargers. I like all of their stuff, and I use a whole lot of it myself. You can get wireless charging solutions for your desk or for your nightstand and make that look a little nicer. They were really sort of fed up with flimsy charging cables, so they decided to build their own. And theirs come in a bunch of different flavors, USB-A, USB-C, and they have Kevlar around the outside, so they're very serious cables. If you like leather, Nomad uses Horween leather, which smells almost as good as it looks, and it wears really nicely. So if you've got a case or a watch band with leather on it, it wears really cool. The patina is really awesome. And they're certified climate neutral brand, so there's lots of reasons why I like them. And if you want to get in on it, you can check out Nomad at nomadgoods.com/TDO to see what living the Nomad life is all about. That's NOMADGOODS.com/TDO. Like to thank Nomad for sponsoring the show today. And Charlotte, I want to ask you about this. Then you can go back to surfing the Nomad site for a new phone case. But first I wanted to ask you about the rumored March 8th event, because we had a very interesting conversation about this and a bunch of speculation about what may or may not be coming at that event.
Interesting, do you mean various attempts to spend my money by all of you prompted by Apple?
I mean
that's what you really mean. Yeah, so
spend Charlotte's money is a strong phrase, but yeah, we're maybe trying to spend Charlotte's money a little bit.
So our friend and colleague Jeff Butts picked up on reports from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman that it looks like Apple is set to hold an event on March 8th.
Yes.
one of the things we're expecting to hear from there is a 5G iPhone SE. There could be some new color options in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be, that would obviously be interesting to say. There could be an, it looks like there'll be an iPad Air update as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things there. I'm wondering, you know, there'll obviously be some, likely to be some Macs. There could be a new iMac, new, or a Mac Pro, even a kind of updated lower end Mac Pro. I'm wondering if we'll see a Mac Mini, some version of that, which is the bit that I'm worried about because that will cost me money.
yes.
So I am wondering if that will be a thing that happens. It's very plausible. You know, this is just me throwing stuff at the wall. No one has reported this, and I obviously haven't had a chance to verify it, but apologies. I'm wondering if we will see the next iteration of Apple Silicon. Could we see a device with a quote-unquote M2? Well, I'm throwing it at the wall in more just to see what you guys think as opposed to anything. You know, are they going to stick with with M1 for another cycle of devices?
What do you think, Andrew?
Good question. I think they might. One idea I had was maybe they would move the M1 Pro and M1 Max and the newest MacBook Pros. I'm wondering if they would put those in the next iMac, because right now the iMac is just the regular M1.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this could go one of two ways. The Mac Mini was the first to get an M1 processor. So it would make sense for it to be the first to get an M2, if that's a thing. But I also think that if they were going to release an M2, you know, if it was going to go all the way from M1 Pro and M1 Max to M2, that we would get that in June at WWDC. I think it would make a lot of sense for the Mini to get updated to the M1 Pro and Max, because it's not available there yet. So that might be a nice thing to bring out as part of this other event. You know, the spring event is it, you know, whether or not it's March 8th is kind of beside the point. Like, Apple generally does a spring event. We've gotten iPhones at that event. We've gotten iPads, used to always be the spring event. We got new iPads in the spring and new phones in the fall, you know, and they've sort of messed with that schedule lately. And we've also had, you know, various other sorts of things that have come out as part of that. I think we got at least one of the Apple TV updates at the spring event, and AirPods, I think, made their debut at a spring event as well. So there's a lot that sort of happens with the spring event. So kind of all bets are off, you know, as far as what they're going to actually announce. But I think it would make sense for something to get updated, whether it's you can buy an iMac Pro because it will come with the M1 Pro and M1 Max in it, so that, you know, or maybe we get all of them. And, you know, now any machine you want can have an M1 Pro or an M1 Max in it. And then we'll start rolling out the M2s, you know, in June.
Yeah, I can see that being plausible, that, you know, we'll get the latest versions of the chips available in, you know, this generation of computers. Then the next generation of chips will start, you know, at the next event or something, that kind of thing.
Because June is the developer event, and so it makes sense that, you know, having a room full of people who are very excited to take advantage of that new hardware, you know, all sitting in a room together, at, you know, in the
old
days.
And they may actually sit in a room together.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. That's a separate bit of rampant speculation we could talk about. But, you know, having all of those people paying a lot of attention to what's coming from Apple from a software perspective, because, you know, WWDC is when we get the previews of the next versions of operating system for macOS and iOS, and usually a little bit of watch thrown in there for a good measure. And having people who develop the stuff that runs on those things have the ability to get to that would be really interesting. And right now it's we're about, I would say, I think we're at like 15 months into the 24-month transition. So the end of this year will be 2 years of the transition into all Apple Silicon. So making everything, you know, getting everything updated and getting everything using a reasonably powerful version of an M1 chip, of an M series chip, I guess, makes a lot of sense for Apple to be doing.
The other thing I'm going to throw out there on this is, I distinctly remember, and please tell me if my mind is playing tricks on me, that Tim Cook stood up at the event where they announced Apple Silicon and announced and, you know, made it clear it was, I think it was the same event where they told it was M1, and said, talked about the transition and said, even in this 2 year period, there will be new Intel machines. Am I misremembering?
No, I think he said
or
that.
Or have I just missed the new Intel machine that's not happened?
Well, I wonder if what he meant was continue to produce M1 Intel machines. That, it's not how it sounded.
I heard it to mean there will be a new machine with Intel chips in it, by which I assume we think some kind of pro device.
And at the time, I did think that that was what it was going to be. Was, you know, they're going to put a, we're going to get a new generation of Intel chips, and that'll be the next iteration of Mac Pro. But given where we're at with, you know, the M1 Max, like, I can't imagine anybody looking at that 16-inch laptop with an M1 Max chip in it and going, you know what I really want is that Mac Pro with that new Intel processor in it.
Right.
Like, I don't see it happening. Now, I will randomly speculate, as longtime listeners to me will remember, I run a home for Crackpot Theories. Maybe this will be the return of the iMac Pro. The iMac Pro will run an M1 Pro or an M1 Max chip, and it'll be a bigger, that nice 5K screen.
You know? Yeah. Or maybe the iMac Pro would be the introduction of the M2.
Ooh, that's a good one too. Yeah. I could see that happening in June. I just like the idea that sort of everything gets updated. They start rolling out the Pro and the Max to the other product lines, so you can get it in more than just a 14-inch or 16-inch laptop. Not that I don't love those.
Right.
And if somebody wanted to send me one, I would give it a kind and loving home for many years. But I don't see it. You know, at this point, we don't have Intel and we don't have Apple Silicon and everything. And I'd like to, you know, maybe we get the Pro and the Max rolled out to other things. And this, you know, this whole transition is going to give us a little bit of insight into how upgrades are going to go going forward. You know, when we get to the M2 and the M2 Pro and the M3 and on, you know, how are they going to roll those out? Are they going to start, you know, proof of concept in the mini like we got with the M1 and then roll it out to the product lines that sell bajillions of machines every quarter? Or is it going to be, you know, something slightly different? So I'm going to be curious to see how all of that turns out. So if you have speculation on this, we would absolutely love to hear it. Again, I run a home for Crackpot Theories, and the crazier they are, the better. They make me very happy to speculate about Apple stuff. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I'd like to thank Team Nightmare for joining me today, Andrew and Charlotte. It is a pleasure as always. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.